Welcome back, gamers, to the Uninformed Gamers Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Rad Dreams, also known as Mason, and joining me today is the illustrious Darkness Tiger, also known as Devin.
Hi, that's me.
And unfortunately, Chris, aka I Chameleon, and I will be out today due to prior obligations, so it'll just be the tag team for this episode. But still stay tuned because we got some really good stories to talk about today and very exciting topics overall.
Hey, Mason, could you say that you and I are Mario and Luigi and Chris is in another castle?
I guess you could. Yeah. And speaking of which, I think we mentioned this on the previous podcast where the final trailer for the new Super Mario Brothers movie dropped. And I like how the new trailer looks. I just still cannot get behind Chris Pratt. I'm sorry. I know you feel the same.
Yeah, I don't care. And Chris Pratt is one of the reasons why I really don't want to see this movie.
I know.
The Super Mario Bros. Movie comes out April 5th, 2023, if you're listening in the United States. But I will say this movie, outside of Chris Pratt, who is Mario, has a star-studded cast. Anya Taylor-Joy is Princess Peach. Mm-hmm. Charlie Day is Luigi. Jack Black is Bowser. Mm-hmm. Keegan-Michael Key is Toad. And weirdly, Seth Rogen is Donkey Kong.
Yeah. I do like the other voice performances that we've heard in the trailer. It's just, I'm just bummed out about Chris Pratt because he's just being himself.
That's Chris Pratt in every movie he's ever been in.
Yeah.
Because you know the Guardians of the Galaxy Chapter 3 is coming out, or Volume
4. Yep.
And I love the first one. I enjoyed the second. I'm watching the trailer for this and I'm like, wow, I just don't like his face. I just don't like him.
He has like a punchable face.
I was going to say the exact same thing. And and Chris Pratt, because I know you subscribed to us. We're sorry. We just don't like you.
But other than our mutual dislike for Chris Pratt, what have you been up to, Devin?
For me, I've just been meeting friends. This week is actually the Cleveland International Film Festival.
Nice. I'm very hyped about that, to be honest.
Yeah, I think I might. I was going to go and check out a film on Monday or even yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is I'm a very indecisive person.
Yeah.
So when I have sitting in front of me eight movies or different shorts available and I don't know what any of these are, it's like looking at a series of grays and picking one.
Mm-hmm.
So for Friday, what my goal and my plan is I'm actually going to research some movies tomorrow, which is going to be Thursday, and I'm going to pick out two movies that I wish to see, and I'm going to choose one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make an entire event out of it. I'm going to go downtown, have me dinner, go catch a show, and see one. But it's very overwhelming if you've never actually gone to it before.
Yeah, I can imagine. I personally have never attended the film festival, but I've always wanted to.
Well, I'll tell you right now, if you go to the website, you're going to be so confused for about 15 minutes.
Oh, I bet.
Because the website is presenting itself as if you are a regular for the last few years.
Mm.
And so, like, I'm going through and I'm like, I don't know which movies are playing. I don't know where they're playing. I don't know how this works. I don't know how to buy a ticket. I don't know anything about this. And it took me going through every link on the website to figure out what was going on.
Really? That's kind of lame.
Yeah. And a friend of mine who's a regular at the Cleveland International Film Festival, even he said, yeah, the website is trash. It is not.
Yeah, sounds like it.
It's not new user friendly. So he sent me a PDF that explained everything that was much better than the website. So hopefully I can give you a bit of a review on it next week.
Okay. I dig it.
Outside of that, Mason, when I tell you I cannot wait to finish Yakuza Like a Dragon, I want this game to be done.
Why is it? Are you just done with it or like?
I'm tired of playing it.
I gotcha.
I enjoy the story. I like the little side missions. Mm-hmm. It is an amazing game. Don't get it twisted. But I am tired of playing it.
So that's kind of like how I unfortunately feel about the Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yep.
And I feel bad because I borrowed it from Chris, and I'm just like done with the game. Like, I made it like halfway through and I'm just like burnt out by it. So I'm just like, I think I'm done.
Yeah, so next and that's time, a real thing, and there's nothing wrong with it. There is nothing wrong with that at all. These games need to be a little bit more concise, because Breath of the Wild is not a short game.
No, it's a very long game.
And neither in Yakuza Like a Dragon, every time I feel like I'm getting close, new chapter, and then there's a whole bunch of sub-stories that I have to go through, and I'm like, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, what have you been up to? And specifically, where were you last week?
Well, I could not make the episode last week because I was doing a in-person Digimon card game tournament. So I do apologize that I was unable to make it. But I did become the victor of said tournament.
Congratulations.
So got first place, got a really cool prize card for winning the tournament, and had a good time overall with the event. And I was pretty proud of myself, honestly, because the deck that I built was just used without the internet. Like, I used it without, like, it's called net decking, where you look at like the best decks, and then you basically do a copy pasta and just play that, or like make some adjustments based on a pre-existing list. So I did not do that. I made a list from scratch using the old noodle, and that was it. And it performed very well. So I was very happy with that.
Now, where was this event held at?
Oh, it was just locally by me.
Oh, okay. And how many people were there?
How many people? It was like 16, so it was smaller.
Oh, okay. Well, you still won. Congratulations on that. We're proud of you here at the Uninformed Gamers Podcast.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And other things that I have been up with is just more playing of the Street Fighter Duel on Android. Been having a good time with that game, doing it strictly free to play and just enjoying myself with that. And then in terms of something that I personally wanted to talk about that shouldn't take too long, is I've been watching more and more anime, and I have been watching one about golf, and I absolutely love it.
A golf anime, yes. Sounds like the last thing I want.
I know,
watch.
And I felt the same way. I'm just like, how the F are you about to make a golf anime interesting or even keep my attention? Because I literally, figuratively, and emphatically hate golf. Right. I think it's a stupid sport. I hate watching it. I hate playing it. The only thing I enjoy about it is putt-putt and the driving range. That's it.
See, I don't even, this may be something controversial, but I'm willing to go out on a controversial limb. I'm going to expose myself to everyone in the world. I don't find putt-putt that fun.
That's fine. It's not for everybody.
Yep.
But, so, this anime is about golf, right? But they over-dramatize it to, like, the wit's end. It is so crazy and over the top. Like, imagine the over-the-topness of Yu-Gi-Oh! If you watched that.
Yeah.
Imagine that, but replace cards with golf. It's like that level of ridiculousness.
Oh, dear.
And it, people have, like, quote-unquote, like, special abilities, and things are just way over the top. Like, there's a fucking, like, golf mafia.
Of course there
which
is.
Which I'm just like, okay, I'm here for it. And then, like, there's a part in the fucking show where, like, this senator literally gets murdered with a RPG because of golf.
Oh, dear.
And I'm just like, yo, what the fuck? This is insane. I love it.
Now, what's the name of this anime? All right,
so if you want to check it out, highly recommend. It's called Birdie Wing.
Okay, Birdie Wing. Yep,
I highly recommend it. The animation is actually really good. The opening is strong and catchy. The ending theme is also fairly decent. And it's just a good time, honestly. Like, even if you hate golf like me, you will enjoy this show because it is just so ridiculous and over the top, and you'll just have a grin on your face watching it.
Now, is Birdie, is this a new anime, yes, or is this one that's a little bit just, older? Okay, so it's brand new.
Yeah, it came out very recently. So, yeah, it came out last year, 2022, and it's just the bee's knees. There's only 13 episodes out right now. I'm hoping it gets a season two because the 13th episode leaves off on a bit of a cliffhanger. So I do hope we get a season two with it, but yeah, check it out. That's kind of what I've been up to.
All right. Well, I will definitely attempt to check it out. I make no promises. I'm fully behind on all my anime right now.
No worries.
But I am fully caught up on The Mandalorian, which I believe, I only have two more shows that I just need to finish. So The Mandalorian is one, and then The Crown, and then I can start a new series. I think I'm going to skip over Andor because I'm taking a break from Star Wars for a while.
See, I heard Andor was actually like really good.
I heard it was too, but then I saw the Book of Boba Fett, and
The Book of Boba not that good?
It was not, and I'm drawing a blank. The Obi-Wan show.
Yeah, I heard that was just amazing. Okay as well.
Yeah, it was all right.
Really?
Okay. It was better than the Book of Boba Fett.
All right, all right.
But that's not saying much. But
that's fair.
Let's get into our first topic.
Yes.
And this past Friday, the Uninformed Gamers and their significant others took a field trip to the local... Actually, before I get to
this. We need to talk about what happened with me.
Okay.
I can be no man enough to admit when I make mistakes, and I'll take the bullet on this one. And so
Brad Rain's review fucked up.
Yeah, I done goofed. We need to call the internet police. But so we were talking through text message and trying to agree upon like dinner. And so initially we were just like, oh, let's go to this taco place, right? And then that was that. Well, and then...
Well, initially we were like, and we were getting ready to go to movie theaters, but we were going to stop and have dinner first with everybody. We initially had agreed to this like brewery.
Yeah.
A brewery, everything.
Well, no, did we initially agree on that?
We initially agreed on it. Then Mason, you suggested...
The taco place.
A taco spot.
Yeah.
And it's not much, and I'm like, you know what? That sounds good. I've never had it. Let's do that. Well, this is where Mason stopped reading our text messages.
Yeah, and I feel so bad, honestly, because like the day of the movie hits, and then I arrive at the taco place. I'm like, all right, I'm here. I'll get our table, and then you guys are like, all right, we're on our way. And then Chris calls, and he's just like, hey, man, like, where are you? I'm like, I'm here. And he's just like, I don't see you. And then I'm just like, yeah, I'm at the taco place. And he's just like, we're at the brewery. I'm like, oh, what do you mean? And he's just like, did you not see the texts? I'm like, no, I didn't. Because I am a terrible friend.
Well, Mason, I don't know if Chris told you this, but you're not the only one who messed up that day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, the goal was for me to drive over to Chris's house and for Chris to drive us to the restaurant, right?
Okay.
So Chris says, "Hey, can you get to my house before 5?" I arrive at 4:59 because that's who I am as a person. You didn't specify a particular time. You said just before 5.
Yeah.
I show up at 4:59.
Hey. So you still fall within the parameters, you know.
I followed the rules. So I park on the street and I walk up and I I get I Chameleon, Chris, and his girlfriend, Victoria. And I'm like, all right, guys, let's go. So we're going. I'm getting ready to hop on the back seat of Chris's Jeep. And he's like, hey, I got to move some stuff. And I'm like, all right, cool, no problem. So we go to the back of his car, and I notice something that he has not noticed.
What's that?
His tags are expired.
Oh, no.
By 3 months.
That's quite a bit of time.
Right? And I look and I say, Chris, do you know you've been driving illegally for 3 months. He was like, what do you mean? And I point to his tags. I'm like, your tags have been expired this entire time. And he was like, huh, I could have swore I got them. So he's like looking in the glove box for like 5 minutes. And he was like, well, yeah, I've been driving illegal for about this entire time. So I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll be driving.
Womp womp.
So Chris never updated his tags. So had I not been prepared, he would have been stuck at home.
Well, I'm glad that you stepped up to the plate and drove. But luckily, you know, things worked out and we went to the theater and we saw John Wick 4.
And I have to say, I want to appreciate you guys. I'm glad we all went together.
I am too, honestly, it was a really good time.
I enjoyed the experience with you, even though a little inside baseball, Chris fell asleep.
He did?
Yeah, he was passed out.
Like, how much did he fall asleep for?
I feel like it was an on and off situation with Chris, because I would like bump him and he was like, oh, I'm good. But then like afterwards, he was just like, yeah, I fall asleep in movies all the time. Like, there's nothing you can do to stop me.
Oh, bummer. Well, how do you fall asleep to John Wick 4? That movie was just like high octane action, just back to back to back to back to back.
The movie was so over the top that you probably heard me laughing several times.
I 100% did.
Because it was so, like, listeners, I don't know if you're not into action movies, I'm going to be honest with you, John Wick is not the film. However, if you are into action movies, this is the one to end all action movies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like the pinnacle of action. It is action incarnate. So here's how I would describe John Wick 4, right? Imagine this. Imagine you go to a coffee shop and you have a double espresso. And then you say to yourself, you know what? I'm going to drink a Red Bull too. And then after the Red Bull hits your system, you're like, you know what? I'm still not hyped up enough. Let's do a direct shot of adrenaline to my heart. That is John Wick 4.
Well, I'm going to give a different example. John Wick 4 is like Pedro Pascal's Starbucks coffee order. Do you know what Pedro Pascal drinks at Starbucks?
I have no clue.
He drinks an iced quad espresso in a venti cup with extra ice and 6 shots of espresso.
Yo, what?
This bro wants to have a heart attack.
Yikes. But
the movie was phenomenal. It had every aspect that you could care about. There were funny scenes. There were sad scenes. Mm-hmm. There was one action scene, and this is going to be like a spoiler-free discussion. There was one action scene that we all universally agreed was just a video game.
Yeah, and I was actually listening to a interview and also reading an interview about that specific scene, and that whole part was done in one take.
So the scene in question is just a top-down scene. Mm-hmm. It's a top-down scene where John Wick is going ham. Mm-hmm. I did not know that was one take.
Yeah, I found out it was done in one take, and they got inspiration from Resident Evil.
That's legit. I like that. But I want to give a special shout-out to a few of the actors.
Yes.
One, major shout out and rest in peace to Lance Reddick.
Yeah, he did a phenomenal job in the film. And I did.
For what he was given.
I don't know if I should say this because it is a spoiler.
I mean, it happens in the beginning.
Yeah, so I'm going to say it. All right. So I feel bad that he died in real life even more because in the film, he dies like right off the rip.
And when he died, I whispered to Chris, I said, damn, double homicide.
Shit.
Yeah, it's fucked up. But
Hey, it's all right. Dark humor.
Dark humor. But it was good seeing his face. It was good seeing the character. Also, super shout out to Donnie Yen.
Yes, he did a phenomenal job as the character Kane in the film, mm-hmm. Which, you know, the naming of his character does not – you know, escape me because of the story of Cain and Abel. They are brothers in mythology slash religion. And, you know, Cain betrays Abel. And, you know, in the film, you know, Cain kind of does betray John Wick, his brother. So I do like the nuance there. I just thought it was kind of funny that he's blind and his name is Cain.
Special shout out to the villain, Bill Skarsgård.
Oh, dude, All right, I want to say something about his character, and I want to see if you agree with me.
Yeah.
All right, so his character's the Marquis, correct?
Yeah.
So his character, the Marquis, has to be one of, if not the most dripped out villain I have ever seen.
Honestly, when he got on screen, I was just like, the one thing you guys can't say is he don't know how to dress.
Yeah, like, that dude was dressed to the nines, like, every single, like, day, every single time. Like, he was dripping so bad, you would have to call a plumber.
The drip did not quit with Bill Skarsgård's character.
Nah.
I have to say, I'm a big fan of Bill Skarsgård.
Oh, he's a great actor.
You recognize him from It. His entire family is great actors. I hate to say it, I think that he helped make this movie.
Oh, 100%. Like, he definitely was a very good call for a villain. 100%.
And one more major shout out goes to Shamir Anderson, who was the tracker.
Yes, I enjoyed him a lot. More than I thought I would.
Yeah, because at first I'm like, this guy's a throwaway. But at the end I'm like, he helped make the movie.
Yeah, he was a very pivotal character, and he did drive the story.
Now, if you guys are curious as to who Shamir Anderson is, he is most known for playing the U.S. Deputy Marshal Xavier Dulles on the television series Wayona Yarp. But the problem was, I'm sitting there, and I'm watching him, and I'm like, I have absolutely seen his face before.
Mm-hmm.
But I have never seen anything he's in. He's in a lot.
Yeah.
But I have never seen anything that he's in.
And what was another nutty thing about the movie for my wife and I is the guy who played what was his name? Like, he was the guy that oversaw, like, the duel and what was his name? What was his character? Oh. Not the adjudicator, but he was like...
Yeah.
I
can't possibly find him because his name is Clancy. I think the actor name is Clancy Brown.
But anyway, he was in Shawshank Redemption.
Yep, sure was.
He played the police officer who got arrested. And because I'm watching the film and I'm like, he sounds and looks so familiar. I'm like, where do I know him from? And then my wife was just like, oh my God, it's what's his face from Shawshank. I'm like, oh my God, you are right.
Do you know where else he's also from?
What's that?
He was Sheriff Gus in Pet Sematary 2.
Oh, there you go. Bad movie, but, you know.
Yeah, well. And you know where you might recognize his voice from?
What's that?
He's Mr. Krabs.
No fucking way.
Yep, he is Mr. Krabs. Oh. And he's not. That's not the only thing he was in. He's also Lex Luthor in the DC Animated Universe.
Really?
Could you not?
Huh. Ain't that something?
Yeah, the more you know. So he is you. And guess where he's from?
Like country?
You can do country, just take a guess where you think he's from.
I'll say United Kingdom.
Nope, he's from the United States. And he's from Ohio.
Oh, is he?
Yep, he's from Urbana, Ohio.
Hell yeah. That's what's up.
Just west of Columbus. So he is a local homegrown guy and he knows how to act. But
heck yeah.
Overall, out of the uninformed gamer score, what are you giving this movie, Mason?
Honestly, I'm having a hard time finding things like wrong with the film itself. So I only have like minor grievances about it. So I would give it probably like 4.5 out of 5 uninformed gamers. So that's my score.
See, I actually did have grievances. And even with those grievances, I'm giving it a 5 out of 5.
Oh,
because
okay.
Midway through the movie, I literally said to Chris, I said, they just got to stop making action movies now. You can't beat this.
No.
So I'm giving it a 5 on Informed Gamers out of 5.
Hell yeah.
No matter you guys' reviews or thoughts, go out and see John Wick. Run, do not walk, and definitely do not fall down a flight of stairs for about 20
minutes. Hey, and shout out to the stunt actors in this film. There needs to be a category in the Oscars for stunt people.
I 100% agree with that, and that's majorly controversial. And do you know why?
No, I do not.
The reason that's not a category is because they are concerned that if they made that a category, they would make movies so over the top with action, and they would put a lot of these stunt workers in danger just to win the award.
I mean,
so that's the reason why they've never put that as a category, because it's discouraging. It's discouraging them from trying to get this award.
Who knows?
Agreed. But let's go ahead and let's change topics.
Yes.
To one that we seem to be, we hear about this topic all the time, and it's something that all three of us have always wanted to attend.
Mm-hmm.
And that is E3, Electronic Expo Entertainment. And a couple of months ago, it was E3 is back. It's going to be in full force.
Mm-hmm.
But then Sony was like, yeah. And Sony pulled out a few years ago. They're like, we don't need to be involved with this. So then Nintendo was like, you know what? We don't need to be involved with this either. And then Microsoft was like, we'll do our own thing.
Yep.
Well, I think it was last week, Ubisoft was like,
they pulled out too.
And just recently, within this week, Sega and Tencent also pulled out.
Which is huge.
Who is left?
Yeah, exactly. Like, honestly, at this point, might as well cancel.
Do you think that they should? Do you think that E3 may need to adapt into something entirely different? Do you think E3 should become its own like event of the year for just technology? Do you think it should remain just a video game event? What do you think E3 should be?
I mean, they definitely need to adapt because they're being left behind. Like, video game companies are doing their own thing without, you know, the expo. So maybe E3 can turn into something more so based on electronics itself, because, you know, it is called the Electronic Entertainment Expo. So maybe shifting focus to that vein and instead of like video games, perhaps, might be the way to go.
Yeah,
who knows?
I think that with E3 and with the advent of a lot more technology, you can do electric cars.
Mm-hmm.
You can do all forms of technology. And obviously we have events where there are similar things.
Yeah.
But you can bring that into the Los Angeles fold and become the biggest event. You don't have to constrain yourself to the corporate video game whims.
No. And we've seen, you know, with their whims, they suffer the consequences. So might as well do your own spin on the event, focusing more so on electronic entertainment in the broad scheme of things.
Yeah, I agree. I think they should become just more broad. They should just be the yearly showcase of everything tech. And I'm not just saying like how Apple does like an event once a year or whatever, how Tesla does their event. I mean, just bring it all together.
Because like,
talk about everything.
Because you have the CES, right? You have the computer electronics, was it seminar, right?
I think that might be. I just always called it CES.
Yeah, you have CES. That basically focuses on just tech. So
consumer electronics show.
Yeah, consumer electronics. So why not just
consumer electronics?
Do electronic entertainment. You know, you could do just things that are available in the marketplace, or just focus on like advancements. You know, if companies want to come, they can come. I don't know. Just something for them to think about.
You can do getting Netflix involved with streaming shows, Hulu, HBO Max. They have an opportunity here to be the biggest event because they still have the name recognition.
Yeah, they do.
E3 at one point was one of the largest.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you can kind of take the fight to CES and South by Southwest. You can, and I guess at a lesser extent, Comic-Con.
Yeah.
I think E3 needs to take this opportunity. I'd hate to see E3 go. I think you've built too much here. I hate using this term. I think E3 is too big to fail.
I would agree, honestly. I mean, the only reason why it didn't do well these past couple of times was because of COVID.
Yep, it just is the organizers and management willing to adapt to the new changing world. I really don't want to say this next part, but they can easily get into bringing into the meta fold. I don't think they should be bringing in crypto.
No, and they should definitely not bring in NFTs. Please, no, please do not do that.
If they, don't do that, because that's scammy.
It is, and
the NFT is definitely dying. I'm glad that's slowly going away. Unless you're Square Enix.
Yep, because the 25th anniversary for Final Fantasy VII is coming up, and to celebrate, they're releasing a NFT project, so fuck them for that.
Well, let's switch over to video. Literally, I don't care.
Take a shot. We mentioned NFTs.
Is it weird that I'm starting to think that I dislike Square Enix more than I dislike EA?
Ooh. It hasn't gotten to that point for me yet.
See, I have personal experience because everybody knows here, I bought Need for Speed Unbound.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought that months ago. I want to say I bought that in November, right? There's been no major update since then.
Really?
Yep. After I beat the game, there was no like in-game real, there not real, like a real in-game plus or whatever. Like you can just keep racing, but there's no real point in doing it. No DLC. And I'm like, wow, they really just created this game just to abandon it. After I paid $70+ for it.
Eesh.
But let's go ahead, switch topics, and go ahead and bring us our next story in the video game realm.
Yes. So this next story kind of came out of nowhere. And I just kind of happened upon it, which was kind of cool. We have a new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle game coming out that is based on the very popular graphic novel / comic series called Last Ronin, right? And it's going to feature God of War like gameplay.
That's exciting.
Yeah, honestly, this is very, very good news. For those of you who don't know, The Last Ronin was written by the original creators alongside legendary figures such as Tom Waltz and Andy Kuhn. And it's so good because it takes the turtles in such a different direction than you're used to. It's very gritty. It's dark. And I highly, highly recommend reading it if you haven't done so. And when you combine that with the awesome action role-playing that God of War does, I mean, you got a recipe for success. So I, for one, am excited and optimistic. And when we get more information on this game, we will definitely share it.
All right, I'm looking forward to it. If this utilizes Unreal Engine 5... this is going to be insane.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I'm hyped.
All right. Now let's talk about let's give the update of the Microsoft Activision Blizzard acquisition.
Yeah. This is a topsy-turvy agreement. I have to say, this is probably one of the most scrutinized mergers in recent memory.
And it's weird because, like, when we talk about mergers, like, the one that I can think of immediately comes to mind is when Disney bought the entirety of Fox, mm-hmm. or when
Disney Marvel,
or when T-Mobile bought Sprint. I feel like though all those other acquisitions were not as scrutinized as this one.
They 100% were not.
I feel like they were just allowed. And I think when Time Warner bought AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
Or vice versa. I don't remember who bought who. But it seemed like those were, no problem. But this one is dragging on so long. And there is just so many things involved.
Mm-hmm.
Well, recently, the question from Sony basically came in, and they were like, we truly believe in our heart to heart that if Activision Blizzard is allowed to merge with Microsoft, we're done. It will be a monopoly. We cannot compete. It is not fair, and it needs to be blocked, and we feel like we have a full argument.
Mm-hmm.
And across the world, each individual country has been slowly approving the deal. They've listened to the arguments. They said, you know what? It's not going to be that big of a deal. Go ahead and approve it. The most recent country to approve the Activision Blizzard proposal? Japan.
Yeah, which is the home country of Sony.
And I appreciate how Japan is just like, yeah, we don't care. So Japan's JFTC has approved Microsoft's proposed $69 billion takeover of Activision Blizzard. In a press release on its website, the JFTC reviewed the transaction and reached the conclusion that the transaction is unlikely to result in substantially restraining competition in any particular fields of trade. So Japan said, no, it wouldn't cause any competition issues. But do you think, but here's my conspiracy.
Okay, what you got?
And join me for a minute. Go down the conspiracy corner with me. Right before Japan approved this, here's another headline for you. Congress finds times to yell at Sony on Microsoft's behalf. 10 sitting congressmen members sent letters to Biden official about Japanese antitrust laws. And this isn't just a Democrat or Republican or a liberal or conservative thing. It was across the board. They are sending letters to top Biden officials asking him to tell Japan to give Xbox a bigger share of their market because they feel that Japan is being uncompetitive with Microsoft, which is the same thing that Sony is claiming that Microsoft is going to do if given the same opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, is Japan okay with monopolies by allowing Sony to monopolize and agreeing to the Activision Blizzard acquisition? Or is the United States pressuring Japan, hey, either you guys allow this, or we're going to start messing with you?
I think it's the latter, honestly.
I'm thinking so. I'm thinking that the United States basically said, you know what? Sony brought up a good point. They have a monopoly, and we don't.
Yeah, right?
And so with Japan approving it, I think that it's going to start leaning harder into the Microsoft Activision Blizzard deal being approved across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have allowed Sony to do this entire time, you have to allow Microsoft to do it.
Yeah, honestly.
And the fact that this would not have been as big of a deal had Sony not said anything to begin with.
Yeah, I definitely think you hit the nail on the head with that right there.
Had Sony kept its little mouth quiet, nobody would be looking into it. Nobody would be looking into Japan antitrust laws. So I guarantee the Japanese government is going to be contacting Sony and be like, shut the F up. Every corporation in Japan is going to be like, stop talking, Sony.
Like, how about you? Can you not?
They'll be like, 21, can you do something for me? So good luck to Microsoft, Activision, Blizzard, because personally, I'm ready for the story to be over.
Oh, I am too. Like, it's dragged out. To be real.
Yeah. I'm tired of talking about it. And when we were talking about the Activision Blizzard stories, we're always talking about like how scummy of a company it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Activision Blizzard, they unfortunately have a track record, excuse me, / history of like frat bro culture, discrimination, there's sexism. I mean, you name it. Like, it's not good. It's not good.
It's not good, and it's almost as if they're the only company to have done that. But a video game company that's, I guess, very popular, especially in the board game world, mm-hmm. decided to say out loud, "Hold my beer."
Yeah, and. This is more in the realm of like tabletop gaming, and it comes from this luxury gaming table manufacturer known as Wormwood Gaming. I personally do use their products. They mainly do like dice, they do tables, very high quality stuff. They are like the pinnacle in the industry in terms of what you can accomplish with that sort of thing. A business from 2012. It was crowdfunded on Kickstarter. So they're very, very successful. And, you know, their success more than doubled during, you know, the pandemic. But unfortunately, when company Gizmodo began investigating this company based on sexual assault allegations, they found a myriad of troubling behavior.
So one of the things, and if you get the opportunity, definitely go to Gizmodo and read the entire thing.
Yeah, it's a substantial expose for sure.
It's gross, but here's a little snippet from Polygon. Wormwood came under fire from employees earlier this year when sexual assault accusations were surfaced on social media. When Gizmodo began investigating those claims, the publication found an extensive history of misconduct allegations. Gizmodo described an incident in 2019 during which Wormwood media lead Bobby Downey allegedly masturbated in front of a female employee.
Oof.
Gross. Workers also alleged that Downey had purposely kept women off the company's reality-style YouTube show, Worm Life. According to sources, Downey's excuses for not including more women included statements like, "Women aren't as funny as men," and "The women at Wormwood are too awkward and aggressive to be on camera," Gizmodo wrote. The report also alleged that women were rarely promoted and described a dangerous work environment where an employee nearly burned their finger off in an allegedly defective machine.
Yeesh.
The company has been fined multiple times by OSHA, and 4 violations are reported on OSHA's website. And get this about the person who almost burned their finger off. After they were in the hospital, like they had to be rushed to the hospital because they almost lost the finger.
Yeah.
They were let go. They were fired.
Oh my God.
And that person is bringing a lawsuit to the company.
Good.
So what Gizmodo went down and they interviewed about 50 different people. And they basically said, not only does a dangerous place to work, the people there are underpaid. The Wormwood Life reality series showcases only the best of what it only showcases what Robert Downey wants to show you. So it's going to show you everything positive. Mm-hmm. It showed you that women are not promoted at any almost virtually zero level. And I believe one of the heads basically believes that women only have one purpose, and that's for childbirth.
Nice.
And when you look at these guys, I am like, yeah, this tracks.
Yeah, they got that stereotypical look about them.
But my thing is, all right, so we have all of these stories that are always coming out, right? It seems like every week we have a new story of a company being shitty. How come there is no company that's like, maybe we should start fixing ourselves?
It's like, how about not?
Wormwood, their HR person quit after observing an incident.
That's so crazy. You know your company's bad when your human resources person is just like, yeah, fam, I'm out.
Your human resources are like, you know what? I can't fix this.
Yeah.
At what point does these quote-unquote like tech bros start doing a self-reflection on their company, on what they put their name on, and say, you know what, I need to do better for my people?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand. Like, I guess it's just me. Maybe it's just if I had a company, I'd want every one of my employees from the bottom to the top to be happy with what we're doing, to be happy to support the company mission. I want to make sure that there is never an instance where somebody felt that not only if they felt uncomfortable, but I want to make sure that they feel like their voice is always being heard. If somebody tells me, hey, your executive masturbated in front of me, one, that executive's gone. That's yeah, not even 100%. It's not me like, well, what did you do and why were you wearing those clothing? It's just, again, if you have the opportunity, the headline for the article on Gizmodo is, "Everything is a story inside Wormwood's Gaming narcissistic funhouse. a culture of unprofessionalism and disrespect to Wormwood Gaming goes beyond allegations of sexual assault. It is top-notch journalism, and it is disgusting.
Yeah, I wish it was a more positive article, but unfortunately, it is not. But kudos to the journalist who did the article itself and did the expose. So you are doing God's work with that.
Special shout out to the art journalist Linda Codega. This was a top notch story, and I hope this gets traction. I hope that the traction this received results in Wormwood improving their employee relations and their safety of all things.
Yeah, hopefully it results in meaningful and permanent change.
Exactly. Now, unfortunately, that's all the stories we have for you guys this week. Mason, you have anything you want to bring us?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head other than check out Birdie Wing.
Give Birdie Wing a check out. And there's that plug. And also, be sure if you need a movie to watch this week, check out John Wick.
Let's go.
Also, I just saw this before we go. Avatar Shape of Water is now streaming. It's $20.
Yeah, no. I'm not paying $20 for that.
I paid $20 to see it twice in theaters, but I'm not paying again.
No, I pass on that. No thanks.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us here at the Uninformed Gamers Podcast. I am one of your hosts. You know me as Darkness Tiger on Xbox and Darkness Tiger 2 on the PS5. If you like the work that we do here, be sure to like and subscribe. If you wish to engage with us, you can engage with us at our Twitter page, at Uninformed Gamers, and also our TikTok, at Uninformed Gamers. All right, Mason, go ahead and do your sign-off.
I am Rad Dreams, as always, also known as Mason. You can find me on YouTube, on my YouTube channel, Rad Dreams Review, and you could also check me out on Twitch, Rad_Dreams.
As always, we will catch you guys next time. Have a good day. Bye.
Later.